This is Morning Edition. I'm Eric Hodge. Phil Cook's life is filled with musical collaborations. With his brother Brad and Megaphone, his lifelong friend Justin Vernon and Bon Iver and DeArmond Edison, and with MC Taylor and his Golden Messenger. He's also worked with the Blind Boys of Alabama and Shirlette Ammons, and that's just scratching the surface. For his new recording, Appalachia Borealis, he settled down with his first love, the piano. Phil joins me now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Eric. How you doing, buddy?
I'm so well. Appalachia Borealis opens with Rise, which is just gorgeous. Do you want to talk about the emotional place you were coming out of when you made this record?
Yeah. The first piano record I put out was called All These Years. I put it out in 21. The process of making that record was the inner struggle of reinvention and really having to reintroduce myself to the public as the person I actually was all along, and making really vulnerable music. Mm-hmm. And so releasing that out into the world felt like a bit of a trust fall. But the process of doing it was so affirming for me, man. It was so beautiful to just, like, my internal feedback loop was so fulfilled and true. And I knew I was on the right path because, as Alice Gerard said, follow the music. Just always follow the music where it goes, right? And sitting down to write this next record, you know, I was in the middle of, you know, going through a family breakup and a divorce and navigating all that whole world. And again, you know, there's a lot of reintroducing yourself to yourself in that kind of a landscape.
Sure.
You know, everyone has to figure out where, how to move on and pick up. You have to kind of scrounge around for the pieces that you know and hold on to them so you can stand on. Those are hard to find, but I feel so blessed that the piano is there again for me, sitting there. It's been the language I've had since I was a little boy. I was a sensitive kid, you know. My mouth was open a lot, and I often had to be retrieved from being preoccupied in thought and processing everything always happening. So when I found the piano, it was like a language that I understood, and I kind of wrote it on my own terms. And to return to that has just been quintessential in this, like, reinvention and rediscovery of so much of what I love about music. You can hear that on the record. I mean, the microphones are all live. They're right with me. You can hear me breathing, you know, while I'm playing. You can hear me rocking in the chair. And I've always rocked back and forth whenever I play piano. My childhood teachers were so animate that I stop it, and I just couldn't. They're just like, you move so much when you play. It's distracting. And I'm like, I go to a place and I don't know. I've tried, but I'm just, this is what I do.
Two hands in my pocket. Did that stretch your personal technique a bit?
Oh, yeah. I think that, like, part of the last few years of rededicating myself to piano is just getting back into, like, the technique and practicing every day and getting the balance set down. And there are moments, those moments where you just have, like, oh, the sun's shining just right, you know, and the weather's just hitting right. And you just, like, you walk out the door and you're kind of like, I don't know why, but I'm feeling it today. And you just got to hold those moments because, you know, they don't last.
No.
You know, they're going to be just a part of the whole parcel of everything you're going to experience. And so I wanted the record to really reflect all the spirits of things that are happening. So, yeah, that song just felt like a joyous, I don't know, it was just a sweet surrender into a moment that just felt like that kind of a day.
You decided to do one cover, and it's Gillian Welch's song, I Made a Lover's Prayer. Mm. What was involved in the choice of that?
That was a day. It was a really special day. Believe it or not, you know, I'm 45, but I haven't owned my own piano until 2 years ago. I remember the day I got home from tour, and I went to Mouse Piano in Raleigh, and I played all the pianos in the shop. I had like $500 in my pocket for a Craigslist piano. The last piano I played was a Yamaha U3 in 1976. And it was just like, oh. And I saw the price tag. And then the owner was so sweet. He was like, hey, man, we got this program. If you can put $500 on, I'm like, I literally have $500 in my pocket right now. That's what I got. And he's like, comes with a free tuning. And so, like, a week later, my first, like, real piano arrived at my studio. And that day, I just sat there. You know, I had some emotion. Of course, I was like, dang, it took me a long time to really give myself this. And the first thing I did when I sat down, that's the first thing that came out. I just had been listening. That song has just been with me for so long. And it means a lot to a lot of people I know. You know, my friend Frazee covers it at her shows, and it's like a deep song for us. And so I sent it out as more of a voice memo, love letter to them, just like, hey, I got my first piano today. Love you guys. And I sent it out to like two or three people. And then I was like, I really should actually work on that arrangement.
The sound of Reliever for me allows a quiet moment of reflection. It's like the release of a deep breath, and we can hear your breath, and we can hear the way you approach the keys with your fingers in this song. When you play a piece like that, can you imagine 5 years from now what it would be like?
That's a good question. I want to say that song is very deep. And the way it came out, but that was one where, like, I mean, I had tears streaming down my cheeks while I was performing that on the recording. Yeah. I knew while it was happening that I was in that zone, in that space, that sacred place. I think having a song like that, or a moment that always invites me whenever I sit at the piano to perform it or anything, it's just, that's a little window that I have coming up that I just know it's reserved for me in that emotional space I was in. So whatever happens with that song in the future, it'll always be this invitation for me to participate with my soul and really speak with my body in a way. So I'm looking forward to whatever happens to it, you know.
Phil Cook's new record is called Appalachia Borealis. It's out now. You can join him at the Pinhook in Durham Sunday for a playback of the full album and a companion film, followed by a live Q&A. Thanks for the music, Phil. Thanks for coming in.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
The film that accompanies this was made by a good friend of mine, Daniel Fox. And Daniel's a fellow traveler and a huge music fan and a filmmaker. And this is footage he's collected over the course of the last several years of him traveling the country. Working with Daniel on this was awesome because he's meeting me with his most sacred things that he's collected from nature, and I'm meeting him. So the album film that comes across for Appalachia Borealis, it's a real transportive moment. It really moved me to see what he put together.